why it's swollen, all the fluid has gathered. Put your foot down. Woman dear, there's nothing wrong with it. Walk normally. And we got outside, my brother was standing. He said, well, doctor, what's the verdict? She said, what's the verdict? She's got a perfect foot. She's been wasting my time. And my brother said, and I missed the football. And I put my foot down. I walked normally. And within a day and a half, all that swelling just went out of my foot. But you see, the songbird sang before the dawn. I had to be so grateful for that foot. And we should be grateful for our foot and our hands. We need this body. It's the only body we've got right now. And we take care of our furniture. We take care of our cars, our machines. We have to love our body for whatever it is it represents. I know that God sees me as spiritual. And the spiritual idea behind foot is the true foot. But right then, I was grateful even for that human foot. Because the Lord's Prayer says, as in heaven, so on earth. God is omnipotent supreme. So even there in the human body, and I tell you what that healing did for me, was so wonderful that the next year when I went out to give talks, I could honestly say, boy, Christian Science heals. It really heals. And I was invited to many of those churches who had seen me, the one in Scotland, for instance, and other ones in England, who had seen me that way, and it was so good for them to see the healing take place. But the songbird had to sing before the dawn. You know, in the Christian Science movement, it seems to be going through dark waters. And this is disturbing so many people. And let me tell you, it's not that it's going through dark waters, but that we're letting it disturb us. The songbird sings before the dawn. If everybody here, just everybody here tonight, and anybody who listens to this recording, would say, I'm going to let the songbird sing before the dawn. Let the songbird sing in the cause of Christian Science. Let us say, we know that God is taking care of our movement. It's not in the hands of people or individuals. It's in the hands of Almighty God. And I love what Mary Baker Eddy says in the Christian Science textbook about gratitude. She says, are we really grateful for the good already received? Then we shall avail ourselves of the blessings we have and thus be fitted to receive more. Gratitude is much more than a verbal expression of thanks. Action expresses more gratitude than speech. Are we really grateful for the good already received? Are we really grateful for every member that we have, even in our branch church? Are we grateful for the members who never do any work? Because they're swelling the congregation. Their money's going into our basket every Sunday. Are we really grateful for them? Are we grateful for each other? Or are we murmuring so much about somebody not doing something right? Or somebody not doing anything at all? Are we grateful for everybody who works in Boston? Because it's one place I would not like to work. It is not easy to work there. If we were grateful, really grateful every day for every Christian Scientist throughout the world, that's like the songbird singing and the dawn would begin to break for each and every one of us. You know the story about Jesus feeding the multitude? Our Master gave thanks for everything in his life. And he did that whenever he was feeding the multitude. Have I marked the wrong place? Here it is. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. A couple of years ago, when this was in the lesson sermon and I was reading this, I saw that Jesus was sitting there with his disciples. He saw a multitude come unto him. He saw a multitude of needs that needed to be met. And I think he asked himself, are we enough? Are 12 disciples enough to feed a multitude like this? And then he saw that they were. So as a symbol, he fed them. There was a lad here with 5 fishes. There was one willing member with 5 fishes. And he said, that's enough. 2 loaves and 5 fishes. He magnified the good that was already there. Then he broke the bread and he gave it to the disciples and the disciples to the people. And that's how it is for us. Sometimes we ask ourselves, are we enough? Our branch church is getting smaller. Are we enough? Let's give thanks for the loaves and the fishes and know that we are enough. We're being fed by the Christ, which is our pastor, our lesson sermon. And we can give that out, and that will feed multitudes, absolute multitudes. One time I was giving a lecture in a little society in the south of England, and it was a very small society, but on the Sunday morning when I went to church, it was so active and the hymns were so lively. I was really impressed, and I said to one of the members over lunch that I was very impressed with the activity. She said, well, you know, a couple of years ago we were ready to close our doors. We didn't have any funds. Our boiler had gone. We needed a new roof. We didn't have many members. We had no children in the Sunday school. And we had a meeting to ask ourselves, are we going to close our doors or try to struggle to keep going? And the majority of people said, close the doors. And then one person got up. And one person said, while you were all speaking, I was thinking that suppose I were a stranger and I had come from the north of England and I'd come to live in this little village. And I said to myself, I wonder, are there any Christian Scientists in this village? And so I put an ad in a little shop. And I got one reply, and then 2 replies, and 3 replies, 4, 7 replies, and they were all families. Wouldn't I think, boy, have we got enough to make a church? But here we are saying tonight, 7's not enough. It depends on how you look at it. And so he talked about an article that was in the Sentinel some years ago about, I think it was Diane Kenrick. She said she was running for a train in London, and she had two heavy suitcases, and she had to run up these stairs, cross a platform, down, and up another platform and down. And she said, I'm never going to make it. I am never going to make it. I've only got 1 minute. And when she was passing over this bridge, she was still running, she saw the clock in the station, a big, big clock. And a minute looked like a big minute. And she said, goodness, I've got one big minute. And she took her time and she walked there. And she caught the train. So this person said, isn't it a bit like that with us? And they began to look at their church from a different perspective and give thanks for the blessings that they already had. And that little church is thriving and growing. Isn't that a lesson for us? You see, the songbird sang before the dawn in that case as well. Now I just want to finish our talk with something that I found interesting yesterday. I read in Miscellany that Mrs. Eddy had written a letter to First Church of Christ Scientists, Atlanta, Georgia. And it was such a lovely letter that I want to read a little bit. She said, this house is hallowed by his promise. I have hallowed this house, which thou hast built, to put my name there forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Your feast days will not be in commemoration, but in recognition of his presence. And then she goes on to say, be patient towards persecution. Injustice has not a tithe of the power of justice. Your enemies will advertise for you. Christian Science is spreading steadily throughout the world. Persecution is the weakness of tyrants, engendered by their fear, and love will cast it out. Continue steadfast in love and good works. Children of light, you are not children of darkness. Let your light shine. Keep in mind the foundations of Christian Science, one God and one Christ. Keep personality out of sight, and Christ, blessed are ye, will seal your apostleship. Now that is as true today as when Mrs. Eddy wrote that letter. That blessing is upon your church and upon the whole Christian Science movement, and we can't resist it. And she mentions tithing in there. A lot of churches tithe, and Mrs. Eddy gives us the definition of tithe in the textbook. Tithe is a contribution, a tenth part, homage, or gratitude. So every time we say thanks, we're giving thanks, we're tithing. Have you ever thought if you tithed part of your time every day, a tenth, 2.5 hours to God's work? Believe me, your life would never be the same again if you tithed that. Even in 1 hour, even if you're out shopping, if you say, I'm going to tithe a part of this hour to giving thanks to God, and look for things to be grateful for. I'm grateful for all of you, and so grateful that you came out on this cold day to be with me. Thank you very much for the privilege.